J1. Number 22B.
And we go on now to point 15F of translations. And we know that the scientific translation of immortal mind and the scientific translation of mortal mind, as found in Science and Health on page 115 and 116, as we have reviewed together, we know that these translations also illustrate the scientific method of handling error. In other words, these translations state that one goes out from principle, out from the first translation, and therefore letting our understanding of ideas simultaneously bring about the second translation, or simultaneously bring about the analyzing, uncovering, and the annihilation of all error. Now we go on then to point 15G, and it's that of the divine infinite calculus. And we know that as we fill our consciousness with all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and as we are constantly calculating correctly with these divine ideas, we are then working in the preventative art. We are preventing error from occurring. And as we go on now to point 15H in the oneness of God good, we see then if our consciousness is just filled with divine ideas, then our consciousness is impelled into the realm or the standpoint of divine oneness. And here in this standpoint of divine oneness, all possibilities of error happening is excluded. Now we go on to the last synonymous term in our study, and this brings us to compendium number 10, and it's that of love. And so we ask ourselves the big question. We ask ourselves, just what is the outcome of truth? In other words, what is the outcome of our divine consciousness which analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates all error? We have just spent time together going through this vast study of truth and seeing how we must have that Christ consciousness and that Christ understanding which simultaneously destroys all error. Now, this has been quite a heavy study, quite an important study. But we now come to the question, the inevitable question, well, just what is the outcome of our Christ consciousness? And the answer is that the outcome is the realm of love. It's the realm of perfection, we could say, or the realm of completeness, fulfillment, or wholeness. So we can just look back now on our long journey from mind to spirit to soul to principle to life and to truth. And we can look back on that journey and just see that this whole journey is just making us become aware of and experience the realm of love. That has been the purpose of our whole journey, to be able to be now propelled or to be pushed into the realm of love. And what we see is that in this realm of love, which is the outcome of our Christ consciousness, we see that in this realm, every idea, each one of us appears in our full light. Or we could say that each one of us experiences full understanding. So in other words, what's being said more or less is that love leads back to mind. You see, love leads back to mind and completes the circle of the seven synonymous terms. Mrs. Eddy says that love alone can impart the limitless idea of infinite mind. So what's important for us to see here is that our study of the synonymous terms hasn't actually formed a ladder, so to speak, where we began with mind and now we're ending with love. But it's much more than that. Our study is actually forming a circle where now we come to love. But you see, love will just lead us back to mind. And actually, it's more than a circle, it's a spiral. Because each time we go back to mind and even begin our study of the synonymous terms again, we always begin our study from a higher and clearer standpoint. So we have had a big adventure, and it comes now to the point of love. So let's look at our list of ideas which characterize love on our illustrative material. And there we see that God is love. Well, this just means that in the realm of wholeness, or in this realm of love, it's the realm of the sum total of deity. It's the realm of the wholeness, you see, of principle, where we all experience our full identity. Mrs. Eddy says that the vital part, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. For love imparts the clearest idea of deity. Now, we know that in common language, or in the worldly sense of love, that it's actually totally inadequate to express divine love. In no way can we look to the world and its concept of love in a human, sensual, corporeal, whatever type of love, and find anywhere in it an expression of divine love. In order to understand love, we must see that love is with a capital L, and it is only by divine qualities alone that we will be able to understand what real love means. And in reasoning, too, with our symbols of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, it's always important to realize just what the place value or meaning of an idea is. And first we see that we have love with a small L, and here we have love with a capital L. And looking then firstly with love as a small L, we see that this type of love in a spiritual sense exists in the third degree. And as we have seen, wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, and spiritual power bring love. Now here it's love with a small L, and this is a love which appears as a fifth quality, and therefore it's considered as a quality of divine life. And you can remember then when we studied life, we studied the idea of love with a small L. And here love just means, as a quality of life, that with our whole heart, we love mind, spirit, and soul, our identity principle. And therefore, we just love our true identity principle so much that we are just joyfully willing to lay down our mortal concept of life. So actually, love then as a quality of life is based on mind, spirit, and soul. And it's the effect of the divine mind awareness. Where we look at the worldly concept of love, it's just usually a first degree concept of love, a sensual or corporeal or personal concept of love, or it could be perhaps maybe a human concept of love of the second degree. But mostly the concept of love is based on mortal mind, matter, sense testimony, and personal ego and desires. And this type of love is the effect of mortal mind, and therefore it's totally void of any spiritual basis, and it's just void of any spiritual qualities whatsoever. And we could say that any first degree love is the direct opposite of love as divine life. Because love, as we have seen, as divine life, is just totally willing to give up any material concept of life and to get out of that first degree. So in looking towards the meaning of love, we must then turn to science and health, turn to the textbook, turn to spiritual teachings in order to find out the real meaning. Then we come to love as a capital L. And we see love as a capital L then is the last synonymous term as given in the definition of God. And we see here that love with a capital L then stands for God. And love with a capital L is the outcome then of our journey from mind to spirit to soul to principle to life, truth, and love. But here is what is the most important thing to see about love. And if we can just go home with this atmosphere, because it's so simple. I think often that when we come to the synonymous term love, just words and words and words are inadequate to explain it. Because we see that love, with a capital L, stands for a realm. You see, it's actually the realm of love. The realm of love, which is the realm of perfection. Love is a realm. And we see that realm means a kingdom, or a region, or a place where we live. So what love actually is a realm. It is a kingdom where we live. And in our kingdom, we are ruled and governed by our kingly Christ consciousness. We can say then that the realm which we live in is love. Or the realm of love is heaven. And heaven, we know, is a kingdom which is just filled with the Christ activity, which is governed then by the divine mind. So in reality, this realm of love, or this region or place where we actually live, is here and now. And it's just a question of our consciousness, whether we experience its full glory or not. So we can see that the world is searching and searching and searching for the question, what is love? And you can just see how the world gets bogged down in the first degree concept of love. And it just doesn't reach what real love is, with a capital L. You see, in answer to the question, what is love, we say that love is a realm. It's a realm of perfection. It's a kingdom. It's a place where you live. Now, can't you see that this is a totally different concept of love than anybody could ever give, unless they were looking out from the spiritual? It's really beautiful. Now, we go on and we see something which Mrs. Eddy will do in Science and Health. She will over and over again couple love with divine principle. And we'll say, why? Why does she couple love with divine principle? And we can see that she does this in order to illustrate that the realm of love is governed by a divine principle. And this divine principle is actually love. It's a divine principle which is all-embracing. It's a divine system of laws which is operating for the universal good of us all. And we can say that there is nothing more loving than a universal, impartial, omnipresent, infinitely applicable, saving principle. What can be more loving, actually, than to know that there is a system of laws which are operating according to a universal plan for the perfection of us all? Now, this to me is much more loving than to think that there's an anthropomorphic God somewhere in a heaven who's waiting for the day of judgment to say, okay, now on earth you have done such and such, so you either go to hell or you can come into the kingdom of heaven. This to me isn't a loving sense. But to know that love, the realm of love, is actually governed by a divine system of laws which are operating according to a universal plan for the good of us all, this is very loving. And it's an impersonal divine principle, you see. It's a universal principle. It's a divine principle love which is completely free of any personal sense, any personal opinions, any judgment whatsoever. Now, we just go on then to another idea on our list. And we come to that of truth love. And we just see now what this does to build our concept of the realm of love. In our journey from mind to spirit to soul to principle to life to truth to love, we have seen that truth alone commands sure entrance into the realm of love. In other words, our Christ consciousness has enabled us to enter the realm of love. And we can see that we can only enter the realm of love if we have gone the way of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. You can see how important our synonym study has been in that sequence. Because without taking that order, without going from mind to spirit to soul to find out what our true identity was, without finding that then mind, spirit, and soul is our true principle, which is governing us. And to see then that we let mind, spirit, soul, our identity principle govern us so we can experience eternal life in truth, in the Christ consciousness, and that Christ consciousness which acts as a power to destroy all error. You see, that whole journey has been important so that we can now be free and clear and open to enter into the realm of love. So, in our journey then, we have seen that the way of life leads through the door of truth into the all-embracing realm of love. So let's look at that for a moment. It's so poetic that I think we should spend time thinking about it. One says, okay, the way of life, and as we have seen in a recapitulation type of a way, we'll just go back, we have seen that the way of life was wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, which brings love, health, and holiness. And this way of life just enables us then to turn to the Word of God, to understand what God is, to understand that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And this understanding then leads through the door of truth. Because we then submit ourselves to the Word of God, and because our divine consciousness acts as a saving power, therefore our divine Christ consciousness acts as a door which enables us to enter the realm of perfection. Now just then turn to our illustrative material entitled The Scientific Law of the Christ Continued. And here we see that another question comes up again, the same question we have asked before, but we'll ask it again. We'll say, what is the outcome of first turning to the Word of God, of then submitting ourselves to the Word of God and letting our divine consciousness act as a saving power? We say, just what is the outcome? Well, the answer is that the outcome is the realm of love, and that the outcome is therefore based on our scientific understanding. So if the realm of love is the outcome, we see that this is a realm then of our true manhood, our true identity. It's a realm just where all Christ activity is going on. It's a realm of Christianity. It's a realm of doing everything with the Christ attitude, with the Christ consciousness. And therefore, in the realm of love, it's not so much what we do, but it's how we do it. And I think this is something which each one of us are trying to learn more and more each day. It's not that our job is of less importance than the next person's job. It's not so much what we do, but what's important for us to see at our particular stage of development is that being is trying to say to us, it's not what you do that's important. Every job is all right. It's necessary in the plan of being, but it's how you do it. What the lesson we're trying to learn now is, how do you do that job? Being says, I'm not concerned on what you're doing, but how do you do it? Are you doing it with the Christ attitude? Are you doing it with the divine Christ consciousness? And we begin to see that it's our attitude which is most important. It's that tone which sets the whole day right. It's that tone, that correct attitude, which makes all our experiences seem a joy where they seem to be a drudgery before. So I think that if each one of us could take that home even with us today, that It's not what we do, but how we do it. And we just keep remembering that and remembering that. It just will change our whole life experience. Because it's not that what we do will change, but we will have a new experience because we're looking at what we do differently. You see, with a Christ attitude. Now, turn then to the illustrative material entitled Correct Identification. Now, what you'll see here is that I have just taken those four steps as illustrated in the scientific law of the Christ continued. And I have analyzed them into four vertical columns. And these are four steps then to correct identification. And just notice up there I say first example A. And this is the example which we have just gone over many times. That example of first turning to the Word of God. But when we turn to the Word of God, what have we done? We have actually identified God correctly. We have identified God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And then in that second column, we see where we submit ourselves to the Word of God. What have we actually been doing here? What we've been doing is that we have been identifying ourselves correctly. We have been identifying ourselves with God. We have been identifying ourselves as a son of God, the heir to the whole of God. We have been identifying ourselves as God idea, as principle idea, as principle, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining principle. We've been identifying ourselves as a whole. And then our divine understanding and our Christ consciousness has always then acted as a saving power which analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates the belief that we are a separate ego from God. So we say then, what is the outcome of our true identification? Identifying ourselves correctly, then we can just say then, well, the outcome is the realm of love or the realm of true identification. And the outcome we must see has been based on scientific understanding and hasn't been based on any blind belief on our part. Now look then down lower in this example on correct identification, and you come to see example B. And here we ask ourselves then, just what is this true identification, which is the outcome of our Christ consciousness? What is that true identification that we experience then in the realm of love? And we can see this by looking at this example B. And here we see that in column one, we have the subject, or we have the subject before a mirror. And in column two, we have a mirror. And in column three, we have the reflection that is in a mirror. And in column four, we have the subject and the reflection is one. Now this example of a mirror has been given many times, and I remember when I was younger, a practitioner friend tried to explain this concept of what our true identity was by standing me in front of a mirror. Well, here we have it again just to make sure we understand this as an example of true identification. What we see here in column one is that God is the subject before the mirror. And then we look and we see in column three that the outcome or the reflection in the mirror is God's own image and likeness. We know that whatever the subject is that stands before the mirror looks into the mirror and sees its own image, doesn't it? So if the subject before the mirror is God, then if God looks into the mirror, the reflection is God's own image and likeness. And then we say, well then, what causes this true reflection? And we see what causes this true reflection is the Christ consciousness. So, how does this work? As an illustration then, we begin now with column one and we'll go through to the four columns. Again, the subject before the mirror is God. Column two is the mirror. Now we know that a mirror is that which establishes the coincidence between the subject and the reflection. So symbolically, our Christ consciousness fulfills the office of the mirror. Why? Because it establishes the agreement between ourselves and God. And how does it do it? It does it by claiming that we are the whole of God. We are God idea. And we see then in column 3 the reflection that the outcome of our Christ consciousness is our true identification as God's own image and likeness. You see, we are the image of God, but we are also the likeness of God, meaning we are the same as God. Therefore, as we know, God's own image and likeness has been called man. But I think that it's very important the more and more we can drop these terms of God and man and go on to a higher understanding. Now let's go then to illustration C and say the same thing, but by dropping the terms God and man. So in example C, we'll just say then that the subject before the mirror is principle, or mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We see then again that the mirror is our Christ consciousness, which claims that we are heir to the whole of principle. And this then establishes our spiritual oneness with principle. And then the reflection is the outcome of our Christ consciousness, which is our true identification as principle idea. And this all is based on the scientific fact that principle and idea is one. So what is of utmost importance is to see that we are now in the realm of love, the realm of Christianity, the realm of our true identification, where we are the reflection of God, the image and likeness of God. In up-to-date terms, we are the whole. We are the image and the likeness, the same as God, which means we are God. We are the whole of principle.